You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
The House Foreign Affairs Committee, September 14, 2021, is not going to get one of their prime invites accepted. I said the House, I meant the Senate. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee. They want Defense Secretary General Lloyd Austin to testify about how we decided withdrawal from Afghanistan, and what did we know, when did we know it, and were we not aware of how bad that could go south in a hurry? And Defense Secretary General Lloyd Austin refuses to show up and testify. Chairman Bob Menendez, Democrat, New Jersey, said, "I'm very disappointed. If we don't get a full account of the U.S. response to this crisis, we can't complete it without the help from the Pentagon, especially considering the collapse of the U.S. trained and funded Afghan military." This Democrat Senator Menendez went on to say, "The fact that the general won't come talk to us, that's going to affect my personal judgment on future Department of Defense nominees." They're not going to like that, are they? In the meantime, of course, we also have a House committee that's been looking for some answers. Senator Rand Paul is already also saying colossal incompetence on the Afghan withdrawal, and other members of Congress, Republicans and Democrats, are also upset with how this has been going on. And Blinken, Secretary of State Blinken, is having trouble explaining Biden's apparent lack of authority. And he still doesn't have any real numbers of Americans still in Afghanistan. Well, we're just supposed to forget them and just, let's go have coffee. And then from the Secretary of State's office, Alejandro Mayorkas, the Chief of Staff, is resigning. According to Politico, she has, quote, an undisclosed opportunity. Now, that might be a real job outside of being a public servant on the public teat and not really doing anything, or it may be an opportunity to get out the door before the house falls in. Well, of course, this is the day in California where they are trying to decide, do we recall Governor Gavin Newsom? His main contender is Larry Elder, black conservative. If he's elected, he would become California's first black governor. And Democrats, liberals who are all about that kind of stuff are now saying, no, we're going to stay with Newsom. That's what they're indicating. Newsom and others on that side have called Elder the black face of white supremacy. The push and the mandate, of course, for everyone to get a vaccine. We told you there are going to be lawsuits, and one's coming out of Arizona already. The state of Arizona suing the Biden administration over mandating vaccines be given. Hurricane Nicholas now making landfall on the Texas coast earlier today. Going to be a lot of rain along the Texas-Louisiana border. Could be extensive flooding. Facebook is now recognizing, for the first time, recognizing how harmful its photo-sharing Instagram can be for teen girls' self-esteem. This according to company documents obtained by the Wall Street Journal, that they found that over the past 3 years, 32% of teen girls felt bad about their bodies because Instagram issues and photos made them feel worse. And Facebook and Instagram were hiding the numbers. Now, here's one good thing from social media. a Florida girl who vanished after being kidnapped as a six-year-old in 2007, is back home with her mother. Someone spotted something on social media and got to thinking that could be her. They looked, and sure enough, it was. The child abducted as a six-year-old in 2007, now back with her mother. And the search is on for the man and the woman traveling with him that kidnapped her at that time. Supposedly, he was her father and did not want mom to have her. Social media can have useful purposes sometimes.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Did the President Biden work with the coward exiled president of Afghanistan to manipulate the intelligence about the Taliban?
What the president said to then President Ghani in private is exactly what he said in public, that the issue was not whether Afghanistan had the capacity to withstand the Taliban. It's whether it had the will and the plan to do so. He
You're
urged him.
The transcript is a lie. It's
have
false.
That plan.
It's incorrect.
And
he did not
and
work.
To bring people together
You're
in
saying
unity.
It's false. It's a lie. It's incorrect. He did not work to tamp down the intelligence on the Taliban.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. That's the answer. I'm going to stand by that answer. You're listening to Congressman Brian Mass, Republican of Florida, Army vet, double amputee, and questioning Secretary of State Antony Blinken about that botched Afghan withdrawal. Now, part of that, as he was raising the question, as you heard him say, the phone conversation that President Biden had with coward Ghani. Ghani, of course, the president of Afghanistan at that time, and he packed up his millions of dollars and got the hell out of Afghanistan when he could see things were falling. But there'd been a conversation that they'd had prior to that by phone between Biden and Afghanistan. And Reuters and other sources got hold of this July 23rd call. And apparently Biden, in that July 23rd call, said the perception around the world and in parts of Afghanistan, I believe, is that things aren't going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban. And there's a need, whether it is true or not, that is a key phrase, my friend, whether it is true or not, There is a need to project a different picture. Biden wanted a perception that was looking, everything is just fine. It was not going fine. Donald Trump had told the Taliban, as president, I'll make an agreement with you that we will have our troops out of your country by May 1 if you abide to certain conditions we give you. If you break a single one of those demands, if you do anything to harm and injure and certainly kill a U.S. member of our services, we will come after you. We know where you live. We'll go after you and your village. So the Taliban sat on their hands in those closing months until they realized come January, the paper they signed and agreed to with Trump was nothing. Forget it. We got milquetoast in the House, in the Oval Office now. We can do whatever the hell we want. And they have started doing so. And they were racing across the nation, taking over various communities, executing people left and right on a constant basis. The ultimate target would be Kabul. Outside Kabul, about 30 miles outside, the U.S. had Bagram Airfield. We had massive munitions, air and ground vehicles, and weapons. It was well guarded, a great perimeter around it. You did not get near it unless you were allowed to get near it. And the Biden administration decided to abandon that field, just give it up, and everything in it. When the word got out to the Afghan troops that we're not going to have any air support out of Bagram Airfield anymore, then they began to either give up or go back to how kind of protect their family. No sense being on the front line. So the transcript that came out of that phone call, as I just read it to you, that Biden is telling the Afghan president, according to the transcript, there's a need, whether it's true or not, a need to project a different picture. So that is what Congressman Mast is pushing against Secretary of State Blinken regarding that transcript.
So the transcript is incorrect. That's your testimony today.
The intelligence we've already discussed at some length about what the assessments were of the Taliban and its capacity to take over the country.
I think that everybody looking for an explanation about what happened and how everybody got it so wrong, how your administration got it so wrong, needs to look at that as the most likely explanation, asking the president to manipulate the intelligence of what was actually going on with the Taliban. I do not believe whatsoever what you're saying about the administration.
That final remark you were hearing again from Congressman Mast, some kind of audio issue as they were doing this televised interview with Secretary of State Blinken. He's just a few blocks from Congress, but he decided to sit in his office because he's comfortable in his office, and, you know, he's prestigious. You know, it's Secretary of State's office. He didn't want to go down and sit in front of the congressman, be right in front of them where they could look at him and watch his motions and actions. And, of course, I'm sure he would claim, oh, well, for COVID issue. You talk about being a coward. You would not go stand in front of members of Congress and answer the questions. You'll put me behind the TV. I'll answer. Well, Congressman Mast is insisting that the Biden White House manipulated intel, and that's why everything got screwed up when it came to Afghanistan and how we lost control of it so fast and lost 13 lives we shouldn't have lost.
That is the most logical explanation of how so many in the intelligence community got this so wrong about what was going to happen in Afghanistan. Why it would seem somehow logical for President Biden to leave the, quote, most advanced military weaponry. Why some would not speak out against that if they were getting the false intelligence because it was coming from the top down to manipulate it. In my opinion, that's absolutely aid and comfort to the enemy. I absolutely wonder if you were complicit in this as well. I find find it hard to believe that President Biden would do that without you being aware of this. And these are things that we deserve to know better answers, have better hearings on this. I do not believe a word that you're saying.
Wow. That is right in his face. Oh, there's more to come. There's more to come. But let me share with you quickly an opinion piece published in the New York Post by Miranda Devine. And this statement and what she has to say is dead on. She said, Joe Biden's call to the Afghan president is impeachable. Think of the calls that they were trying to impeach, and they did impeach Trump, just did not get it confirmed by the Senate, on phone calls he was having with other leaders of the at that time, that they were convinced that he was involved in some quid pro quo and that kind of stuff. Looks to me that this was a damn direct quid pro quo, if the transcript is right, where Biden is saying the perception around the world and in parts of Afghanistan is that things aren't going well. There is a need, whether it is true or not, a need to project a different picture. And you continue to push that, as Congressman Mass did against Secretary of State Blinken, and all hell breaks loose.
I'm not
simply put, Congressman. What you said is dead wrong.
I don't wish
there
to hear your lies.
Manipulation of intelligence.
When you step
period.
Up in front of the camera,
and
not listen.
You have
to
all
you.
Been
don't
regularly apprised
lies.
Of the intelligence
don't thank
assessments.
You for your lies.
All
not
gentlemen,
true.
Over
the
gentleman was suspended.
For your lies.
The gentleman's time.
Not looking to hear
the gentleman's time has expired,
and so has the secretary.
The gentleman's time has expired.
Yes, so has the secretary.
The secretary can answer the question.
I didn't ask him a question.
You did ask a question.
I don't want to hear from the secretary.
The gentleman's time has expired.
Steps in front of the camera. That's
the gentleman's
what
time
to us when
has expired.
Expect Secretary Taliban to live up
the
to the commitment to counterterrorism. Least believable
answered,
thing I've ever heard.
The gentleman's time has expired.
People need to use common
sense. The gentleman's time has expired. We're here to hear from the secretary.
Not to hear lies.
The gentleman's time has expired. Mr. Secretary, if you wish, you may answer the question.
We don't need to hear lies.
We don't need to hear lies. I love it. Absolutely love it. The chairman of the House committee, of course, gaveling. Gentlemen, your time's expired. Congressman Mass, you're done. You're done. You were talking, sir, to an Army vet, a double amputee, now sitting in Congress, and he wants some firm answers and not this mealy-mouthed response from Blinken that almost a question I don't know. But, he wanted to have his last word. He got it because the House leadership is going to make sure the Biden White House story gets out. And I will repeat again on behalf of Congressman Mast, you don't want to hear any lies. You don't want to hear what he has to say. But you do. Because why not document a lie? Let's do it.
What the congressman said is simply wrong. Period. Second, I think virtually every member of this committee has had access to or been apprised of the intelligence assessments throughout the year. And you know what they were, you know what they are. And we will continue to provide those assessments and those briefings in the weeks and months ahead. You've heard the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff say that he has not seen anything that indicated to him or to anyone else that the Afghan government and military would collapse in 11 days. The Director of National Intelligence has said that even in the days leading up to the Taliban takeover, intelligence agencies did not say collapse was imminent. This unfolded more quickly than we anticipated, including in the intelligence community. And I could go on. So what has been said and alleged is simply not true.
Blah, blah, by God, he go on and on. More of a lie. The transcript. And that was the question Congressman Mass was asking. Are you saying the transcript is wrong? Blinken would not say it was wrong, did he? He didn't want to deal with that question, so let's look somewhere else. The transcript includes verbiage where Ghani is apparently trying to explain to Biden our situation is dire. It quotes Ghani as saying, Mr. President, we're facing a full-scale invasion composed of Taliban, full Pakistani planning and logistical support, and at least 10 to 15,000 international terrorists. And he said what is crucial is close air support. And Biden was basically saying, Well, you know, if you get a general stand up there with you, some military type, I swear, that's exactly in it. He said, you get a general to come together, stand up there with you. They stand there and say they back the strategy you put together. You put a warrior in charge, you know, a military man in charge of executing that strategy. That will change the perception. And we had 13 servicemen die at Kabul. Which, by the way, I was discussing with some friends over the weekend, and one of them says he this is his word. I like him. He's a good friend, but I don't know how accurate it is. And I mean, I like to see full evidence. He said, you know, the Marines and the Navy corpsmen who were not killed by the explosion. The explosion happened, and they were rushing in to help, and they were killed by sniper fire. Now, I don't know. I have not seen or heard anything reference any autopsy. All I know is that they were there doing their duty, and they were exposed because we had such a disastrous pullout, and we still have Americans in Afghanistan, and the Defense Department, and Secretary of State, and the White House will not tell us how many. When we come back, a immunologist who had voted for Biden says, I made a big mistake. He'll explain why. Also, the battle on between Governor Newsom and Larry Elder. We'll touch on that before we're done for the hour. And AOC claiming tax the rich. And she wears a dress and goes to an event that costs $35,000 a ticket. Stand by.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We're in a position where our country for the past several years has been tremendously divided. And, you know, frankly, as a friend to John McCain, you know, I felt that President Biden stands a chance of uniting the country, acting on science, taking down the temperature, if you will. And, you know, on Thursday, I finally came to the recognition as an immunologist based on this, the rigidity of this mandate and the massive blunder that's contained within it. That this is not happening. You know, I have to say the mandate as it stands essentially has opened the door to discrimination against about 80 to 100 million Americans who are naturally immune.
That is Dr. Hooman Norkash, who is an immunologist, and says Biden is just discriminating against 80 to 100 million Americans, demanding that they get a COVID vaccine when they might be naturally immune. Or they've already had COVID and he still wants them to get it. And threatening them and their jobs, their livelihood. And of course, it's just causing more division, not unity, which he thought Biden would bring unity. With all due respect to his expertise, the doctor has spent too much time inside the lab sniffing some of the stuff coming out of the bottles, because how he thought Biden was going to bring unity, I have no idea. But he's admitting, I made a mistake. And I think there are going to be a lot of Democrats, or those who voted for Biden, even if they're not Democrats, independents, and some Republicans, or say they're Republicans, conservatives, say they're conservatives, thought that that was the way to go. But what we're going through here is not as bad as they're doing in Australia. I mean, this is phenomenal, what they're doing in Australia. They are in, as it's been described by Rich Lowry in an AP story, I think it's AP, could be Reuters, is saying once a member of the once an honorable member of the free world, Australia has launched into a bizarre and disturbing netherworld of bureaucratic oppression in the name of public health. And Australia's lockdown mania has been also consuming that one assumes much of it would make Anthony Fauci blanch. Here's what they've done. They've had 1,000 deaths in Australia. Melbourne, the city that was once Australia's worst COVID-19 hotspot, a seven-day lockout, the fourth since the pandemic began. With the Delta surge, more than half of Australians are locked down. Businesses are closed, say they've got signs in them saying temporarily, but they don't know how temporary it is because as soon as they almost get out, then they have another case reported. And then the state of South Australia developing an app to enforce home quarantines. The app will contact someone, you, at random, saying, where is your location? We want to know within 15 minutes. You got to let us know. You don't do it, we'll go send police to pick you up. Unrestricted travel. The hallmark of a free society. And they can't go across their country. So tens of thousands of Australians have been trapped overseas. They can't come back to their home. And others who were there for something else, now they're locked down. They can't leave, apparently, at this point. I should correct that. That might have been changed where they are allowing some to get out now. And they're insisting we're not a dictatorship, but you're damn sure acting like it. The president, an Australian politician who is the current premier of New South Wales, just announced, we have 1,257 new COVID-19 cases, 7 deaths overnight, and don't let your guard down. I want to make it clear that we need the 80% of the population vaccinated, fully vaccinated. Originally, when they were talking to their people, they were saying, if we get 70% vaccinated, we'll be okay. And then they said, no, we need to get 75. Now they're saying 80. Have you been to an auction? You ever been to an auction? Is that what they're going to be facing pretty much? Well, we'll look to what's happening in California between Governor Newsom and Larry Elder when we continue. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota. For life.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
They wouldn't be trying to recall him, but for the fact that he has always stood for reproductive rights. They wouldn't be trying to recall him, except they know he stands for our dreamers and our farm workers. It is because of who he fights for, and so we are here to say, today we fight for Gavin Newsom.
Because my name may appear on the ballot, but we're all on the ballot. Our principles, our values are on the ballot. Racial justice is on the ballot. Social justice is on the ballot. Economic justice is on the ballot. Environmental justice is on the ballot.
Those are the words of California Governor Gavin Newsom, Democrat, rallying supporters in Long Beach last night, the final night of campaigning in the California recall election. And also claiming that his main opponent, Larry Elder, is a vote. I don't know how the man can say this and not break into a laugh. But he says it and they eat it up. He says, a vote for Larry Elder, who is a black man, a black conservative, California native, born and raised in Compton, would be California's first black governor a vote to recall Newsom, which means that Elder would probably then become the president, I mean the governor next, is a vote against diversity and against racial justice. Can you riddle me and help me understand how a vote for a black, an African-American born and raised in Compton, who would become the California state's first black governor, is not representing diversity and racial justice? Some of the other comments that Newsom's been quoted as saying is that Elder is believes climate change is a myth. Elder apparently does not. And Newsom claims that Elder thinks that women are not as smart as men. Elder, writing in 2000, had cited a University of Pennsylvania study run by a female researcher that measured women's and men's knowledge of current events, and she called her findings perplexing. That's not the same as saying women are not as smart as men. And in fact, there was a white woman wearing a gorilla mask the other day in Venice where Elder was campaigning, and she tried to hit him with some eggs. She was wearing a gorilla mask. You think that's not a racist indication? But Newsom would have, as he tells his audience, and they buy it, diversity and racial justice are on the ballot. And if you vote for Elder, you're turning your back on those things. I want to read a piece that was published as an opinion column. This was a, let me get the author's name. I always like to give credit. I want you to know who wrote it. And it looks like it is, here it is, David Marcus. He's a columnist living in New York City, author of Charade, The COVID Lies That Crushed a Nation. Now, that might give you an indication of where he comes from. I always want you to understand the background. It's a piece he wrote for Fox News, which, again, might set the stage for you that, okay, I'd expect this. Anyway, it begins, as the sun set over the Great Pacific in Venice Beach on Monday, so too did it set on the California recall election. With only election day left to go, most ballots have already been cast. Gavin Newsom's future rests in votes that now mostly just had to be counted. He said, I did a lot of interviews, talked to a lot of people, and he said, I talked to an L.A. cop who lives near Venice Beach. He said, I'm a conservative, but I want him recalled. And then he talked to some other people, the homeless and people that own businesses around Venice Beach, which used to be a great tourist attraction. And now tourists are, even California residents are being attacked by the homeless and are mentally ill. And he says, in conclusion, after spending 7 days in California from San Fran to the Central Valley to the beaches of L.A., what I saw was not a state in crisis, but one in which a state of crisis seems to hang over certain areas. If Gavin Newsom survives a recall, it will be because their day-to-day lives do not feel like emergencies that must be addressed by removing the governor. That might well sum up what's happening. If you're living nice and high, and especially for the Hollywood elite living in their castles, the moat around the castle and the drawbridge is pulled up so no one can enter unless they want them to, then they probably, yeah, let's keep Gavin. We're doing a good thing here. Of course, these are the same ones who tell you, let's let all the illegals into the country. They don't open up even a garage for some of the illegals to have a place to stay. They just tell you that you need to take them in. That's what we should do. And Gavin Newsom is all about pushing forward, of course, with more and more illegals, and regardless of if they've been vaccinated, even though he's got some of the tightest restrictions in the nation, he's not worried about illegals not being vaccinated. There's something wrong. There's absolutely something wrong every time this administration insists you have to be vaccinated, while they continue to allow the border to be open and letting illegals come in without being vaccinated, and not even doing it with Afghan refugees when they come in. Not before they arrive here. They might vaccinate them after they get them here. They've already acknowledged that. They don't vaccinate before they put them on the plane. Well, so if some coming were not going to have COVID, now being on the plane, now maybe they do. Makes no sense. Nothing makes sense. But here's something we have been seeing more and more of. Joe Biden is becoming a bigger burden and a scary burden for the Democrats. Yesterday, before he went down to California to help campaign, and Gavin Newsom wanted him to come down. I'm sure he thought it'd be a good idea. But while he was down there campaigning and trying to make a speech, I was going to lift some portions of it, and I thought, yeah. Biden starts coughing. He gets a coughing fit. He can't stop. Well, I feel for that. I mean, if you're doing a live event and it happens, you just can't clear your throat. I've been there. I'm on this microphone sometimes. So I can understand that. But he did not look effective. Let's put it that way. But before he went to California, he went to Boise, Idaho, to get a briefing on the wildfires that had plagued several states out west. And at one point, he began to speak. Now, listen, if you can follow this, I don't know what you call it. I'm not sure you could call it a thought, but just listen.
The reality is we have a global warming problem, a serious global warming problem. And it's consequential. And what's going to happen is things aren't going to go back to what they were. It's not like you can build back to what it was before. It's not going to get any better than it is today. It only can get worse, not better. It's not like we're going to not have more problems. But we can do this, in my view.
Okay, I got it. I got the global warming connection. I got that. I'm smart enough to pick that up. But he's going to blame all these wildfires on global warming. But we can't go back to the way things were. Well, what do you mean by that? I can't do it. My mind is too shallow, I guess. I'm going to leave it for the smarter ones of you out there to make that out. But what we did see happen, and it happened not just once now, Biden did speak a lot during that briefing in Boise, Idaho, but then he wanted to hear more from the National Association of State Foresters. Now, here's what started, and listen to what happened.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
One of the things that I've been working on with some others is...
What? What happened? What happened? Quentin, something's wrong. Let's try that again. Something went wrong. I don't know what happened.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
One of the things that I've been working on with some others is...
Again? The same spot? All right, folks, we have some trouble, technical trouble here possibly. I know it can't be Quentin's fault. Let's try it one more time. Something's wrong here.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
One of the things that I've been working on with some others is...
Gotcha. Not our problem, the White House. The White House blocked off, cut off the feed. They cut off the feed purposely. They did it the other day, too, as a reporter is shouting a question about withdrawing from Afghanistan. And Biden said, I'm happy to take questions, and they cut the microphone. Uh-huh, I got that story. And then Joy Reid coming up.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Oh,
You have a platform, sister, that is 22 million followers. Okay, I have 2 million followers. You have 22 million followers on Twitter. For you to use your platform to encourage our community to not protect themselves and save their lives, my God, sister, you could do better than that. You got that platform. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that you got that, that people listen to you. And they listen to you more than they listen to me. For you to use your platform to put people in the position of dying from a disease they don't have to die from, oh, my God, as a fan, as a hip-hop fan, as somebody who is your fan, I'm so sad that you did that. So sad that you did that, sister. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I mean, boy, she goes over the top, doesn't she? That's an MSNBC Joy Reid. She was blowing a gasket because of what rapper Nicki Minaj did. Now, I don't know if you're a big fan of Nicki Minaj or even know her. I'll give you a brief. She was born in Trinidad. She's a rapper, singer, songwriter, and some interesting music. I'm not a big fan. I've heard a few pieces and kind of find my, a little toe-tapping or something like that. So I kind of get into it. But what she had tweeted out on her, and note Joy Reid said, I have 2 million Twitter followers. Joy, I got as many as you do. Well, I might have a few decimals off, but pretty close. Anyway, Joy Reid is criticizing Nicki Minaj for not using her platform with 22 million because she was encouraging people not to necessarily get vaccinated. Here's what happened. Nicki Minaj was going to go to the Met for the Met Gala. Oh, it's a big event. $35,000 a ticket. All the fashionable people were there. And the beautiful people. That would include Nicki Minaj. But you had to show you've been vaccinated to get inside the Met. And she said, I'm not going to go. She's skeptical of the vaccine. And that's what she put out on her tweet or TikTok or whatever platform she used. And the response from Nicki Minaj after Joy Reid went off on her like that, she had some response for her as well, said, you're lying. She said, Joy Reid, you're lying and you're sharing false stories. And she said, I've done my research. But she accused Joy Reid of lying, spreading a false narrative, trying to, quote, down a black woman. Ooh, there's going to be a fight there. And then on top of that, Joy Reid was so happy as they were covering, as it's a big story, you know. The Met Gala. So she was talking about it, and she was talking to former fashion exec, liberal New York City socialite Stephanie Wolkoff. I'm sure you've had tea with her a couple times, right? Anyway, Joy Reid said, this is the kind of thing the right might have wanted to see a Melania Trump at. They, the right, think it of her, despite all the various inconsistencies in her stories, as being this phenomenal first lady. I don't know why. She never did anything for anyone. But this is the kind of thing she ain't going to get into that either, right? I mean, that ain't happening. There's no reason for her to be there. And, of course, her guest is certainly going to, I don't know about that. No, I do know about that. You're right. Because the fashion executive said, this celebrity-filled Vogue event is for the most fabulous and fashionable people who have something to say to each other beyond politics. And it represents humanitarianism and charitable giving. And she also said, I'm so glad to see this helped the designer industry. Look at all the clothing, the fashions out there. Wasn't it exciting? Is a red carpet filled with all these fashionable people. Have I made you sick yet? I'm working on it. Don't go away yet, friends. I've got another 2 minutes. I've got more for you. I mean, you know what? If this kind of story makes you sick and upset, then there's something wrong with you. I mean, you should relish the attack, the rich, and want to be one of them. I'm all for it. I don't care what kind of money you make. I mean, come on. AOC does. AOC showed up in her exclusive dress, all white, written in red across in bold letters scattered around the dress, tax the rich. Tax the rich? I just told you going to this thing is $35,000 a ticket. You got all the fabulous, wonderful, rich people. And she wears a dress saying, tax the rich? And the dress was apparently designed by, I don't know, Aurora James, who knows, estimated net worth $9 million. But said, I want the AOC statement and that dress to push the country forward. There is hypocrisy on full display, and they don't get it. They just don't see it. My God, she's attending an event that costs $35,000 a ticket. She's wearing a dress designed by someone specially for her who already has a net worth of $9 million, and the dress says, tax the rich. They're all into that until they are the rich. And that's where the Marxist leaves the room and goes to the mansion. As always, thanks for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.